The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller. It is Monday, the 25th day of March, 2019. And joined with us today, as he is every Monday, is Steve Elkins down there. Never mind. That'll be
at the highest point in Central Florida.
Well, you know what? I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say a couple hours from Vero Beach.
Yeah, I am.
But you gave out the elevation, which anybody that's got a GPS could pinpoint you and bomb you out of existence.
And you know what? Yeah. I haven't been attacked in a while, so I guess I'm pretty good shape.
Well. The Yellow Vest people that first found out that the taxation for climate change is being put on their gasoline, well, these people have educated themselves to the degree that they're pissed and they're continuing to demonstrate over there. So how's France's government responding to this? French soldiers will be allowed to open fire if lives are threatened by the Yellow Vest rioters this weekend, as the military is drafted in to help 5,000 police on the streets of Paris. Isn't that a warm fuzzy that the government cares so much about you they would be willing to kill you?
Yeah.
French soldiers will be permitted to open fire if lives are threatened by the Yellow Vest rioters, the military governor of Paris said today. I didn't know they had a military governor of Paris. Did you?
No, I did not. Speaking of which, I actually thought the Yellow Vests were kind of more of a peace group. I didn't think they were really rioting and burning things down. Weren't they more peaceful?
Yes, they were, but like any large demonstration, they get infiltrated and people think it's a good idea to smash and grab and burn things, just like we've seen in demonstrations, peaceful demonstrations in this country. It's a prerequisite to send in the infiltrators to make it look bad.
Got it.
And to try to change the narrative. Well, General Bruno Larrey's ominous words highlight the growing law and order crisis faced by President Emmanuel Macron as he faces up to the increasingly violent social movement. You see, they're putting the emphasis here on the increasingly violent. And what I've said about this, if we have demonstrations in this country, you see somebody doing dirty, nasty things, smashing and grabbing and doing, grab them, turn them over to the cops. We can't police our own. We got to have lawbreakers and intimidators and just, no. Grab them. You can get on the, you can go buy those neat, nifty handcuffs.
And then you can scream, citizen's arrest.
There you go. You know, and move on to the next one. You know, handcuff them to a light pole. Just go get another one. And then call. The problem is that a lot of this is done with the police's knowledge, just as we witnessed in this country. Out in Seattle, when the riots were going on out there, well, they weren't just, they didn't start out to be riots. It was very peaceful. And this was in the days of Bill Clinton and him doing the globalist thing and, you know, the UN and all kinds of neat and nifty. He was in on the trade deals and people recognized this, and they were out there protesting. But then the guys all dressed in black with the prerequisite mask on their face could go and just burn and loot and steal and do whatever, and the cops would just stand by and watch it. As it turned out, they discovered that some of the footwear that these little hellions were using were issued by the police. Whoops. They weren't smart enough to change their shoes. But no, that's what you do. In order to control the narrative, to control the actions, you infiltrate with your own groups and you turn it. Well, it's now been confirmed that the French army will support some 5,000 police trying to keep order during the 19th Yellow Vests Saturday demonstration. They've had 19 of these, folks. General Larrey told Francinfo Radio on Friday, if their life or that of people they defend is threatened, they can go up to opening fire. I guess that's the English translation of the French there. It sounds kind of janky, but in other words, we'll just shoot you. Now, there's widespread rioting across the French capital last Saturday with banks, high-end shops, and restaurants looted and burned out. That's not how this thing started out, folks. This is not how it started out. The Yellow Vests were out in the streets protesting the Macron government over taxation, which they smelled out was supposedly for climate change. Right. And that money was to be turned over to fight climate change. No, it wasn't. That was going to go directly to the government. It was going to be used like any other tax that they collect. And they sniffed this out and started, and they here's the thing. They swore that they were going to see this thing through. They weren't just going to do a couple demonstrations. Once that was smelled out, that's when they sent the infiltrators in. And that's who the people are that are looting and burning and doing whatever. Now, I have not heard of the demonstrators, be they the infiltrators, actually threatening people's lives, but I guess it's pretty much the same all around the world. If you burn somebody's property out, I guess in some way you're threatening their life or livelihood. But now they're setting it up that they can just shoot people. Wow. This ain't good. This is not good. But people are catching on. Now, again, if you people aren't smart enough to police your own ranks, just fold up the tent. Shut it down. Start it over again. If you're not smart enough to guard your own flanks, well, then you've got to do an assessment. It's called situational awareness. Adapt and move on. It's as simple as that. So we'll see. You start mowing people down in the streets of France, this is not going to make them go away. This is just going to make them angrier. And I'm talking about the peaceful people. It's just going to entrench them even further. But again, if years ago, Steve, when we were starting the militias up in Michigan, and I'd go to a lot of these meetings, and I'd talk to whoever was in charge, and I go, okay, I'm not here to tell you what to do or how to do it or anything else, but I'm here to give you warning, because you're going to have feds that are going to come in and infiltrate and try to entrap you. What? How? Well, they'll come in and tell you they got cache of arms, automatic weapons, or maybe grenades or rocket launchers. You might have some clown come in and say, psst, psst, come on over here. You know, here's how you build a bomb. And I said, the guy that's feeding you that information is the Fed that's going to be testifying against you in court.
Yep.
We shut a lot of these characters down. I can remember one day going into a meeting. There's probably 100 people in this restaurant. And one young black individual, we had no blacks in the Michigan militia at the time. And nobody knew who this guy was. And he was well-spoken, well-mannered, well-dressed. Came in, plopped himself down at a card table right across from me and sitting there smiling at me. Well, it only took me about 3.5 minutes to assess who this guy was. And about 10 minutes later, this guy was nothing but backside and elbows heading for the back door, never to be seen or heard from again. This isn't rocket science, folks. We do nothing illegal. Get that. The unorganized militia in this country is lawful. Understand that. You go outside of the bounds of that, you don't think the Fed is going to be sitting there ready to get you? Why do you think I am still on the air after doing this for almost 27 years? The noon bomb. I wonder how long I can sit here without him saying something.
I'm just listening to you.
You can do that. You can tune in on the internet down there. You got one of those great internet radios.
I was thinking about that, the shooting yourself. You had a story on the web
about
with a young female that was in the back seat that had somehow shot herself in the mouth, and I was thinking about all the police shootings and things going on around here and around the country. And we had that guest on. You had that guest on that one time, and he told me I should talk to my local police officer and be buddy friends with him and work with the coalition of other officers. And I said, this guy, you know, was basically going to draw me one day when I came towards him. So I'm still thinking I wonder if he still thinks the same, and that we should just go meet our local law enforcement and sit down with them and have a cup of coffee and be chummy, because I just don't feel that. Every time you put an article on the website of police abuse and overreach, I'm very solid in my thinking here. I do not want to be around these people, unfortunately. The police officers I do talk to and like are the old guys who are about ready to get out. These young guys, they want to escalate. They do not want to de-escalate. And I wonder sometimes if I'm going to get fired on. I really do, John. I really do.
Well, and what you just described is what we call the old mossbacks or graybacks. Mm-hmm. These are the people that the voice of experience, the years been there, done that. They have seen the evolution, and I use that term loosely, of the police and the formation of the police state. So, yeah, let's go get all the guys that are in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they just follow orders and go murder anybody that they're told to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, give them the training and bring them back here with the same mindset, and you're going to see exactly the same thing that you're seeing right now, only it's going to escalate.
Yeah. You know, I have a small little digital recorder I keep in my car, and the battery's in there, and I'm going to hit that. If I'm pulled over, yep, I'm going to hit it.
Yep.
And I'm going to record it. I'm not going to tell him I'm recording it, because he'll probably want to take it away, but I'm going to record my conversation with him just to make sure it's all up in front. I know they say we have the right to videotape them, but we are seeing our cameras, our phones taken away,
yep,
destroyed. And there's enough, you know, just do the numbers, John. Let's say 10%. Let's say 10%. It's probably more than that, but 10% of the police officer numbers in this country are bad apples. That's a lot of police officers. That's a lot of police officers that you have to worry about fudging and lying, and they're going to take their word over me. Well, because I'm dead, but we see time and time again the police officers who are lying, and thank God sometimes their own body cameras are working. And they actually are evidence to say, hey, look, you just told a different story than what your video shows.
Right.
I'm kind of worried about these guys. I really am.
Well, and, you know, if you get to a point, and this is a warning to folks out there. If you get a cop that you get the idea that he's being a little bit too aggressive, you can stop them dead in their tracks. All you have to do is ask for their supervisor.
Yep.
Once you take it to the supervisory level, that changes the game. It's just not a one-on-one encounter with Joe Blow from Kokomo on any street USA with Billy Badbutt, you know, with his gun. You've kind of alleviated the situation a little bit by bringing the hierarchy in. Now, that doesn't always 100% work, but 90% of the time that it does.
That's a great idea.
It works. It
Good.
Works.
I'll think of that. Call your supervisor. I want your supervisor here now.
Yep. The Good more idea. Witnesses, the better, because it's real hard to, you know, and like you said, even if it's only 10%, here's the problem, and I don't take the 90%. I think that's a little high, Yeah, I did too. Well, let's just use those figures for an argument for a second. Okay, 90% of the police out there are good guys. 10% are bad. How are the 10% bad being handled? Not very well. What happens? Well, they're there for the image. They don't want to break the bond of trust between them. They haven't figured this out yet. By getting rid of the bad apples in their own precincts, what they're doing is ensuring that that bond between the public and the police doesn't get too tattered. But, you know, this is the old thinking. You know, it's like being, you know, a Marine, or it's like being Special Forces or whatever. You know, you stick together. You're fighting against a common foe.
It's an honor code, basically.
It is an honor code.
Yeah.
But when the code it no longer applies when you're dealing with dishonorable people.
Right.
And once you understand that, you know, are you going to have to maybe quit and go get another job in another department? Yeah, you might. If you're on a PD right now, is there a good sheriff in the county that you live in? You might become a deputy sheriff. If that is your aim to help people, and these are the guys with the badges and the guns that really are there for service for the people, not these police state militaristic wannabe escalators, and then cry the blues when a little ankle biter and they shoot your damn dog. You heard last week what I was citing facts and figures about how many damn dogs these people have killed.
Yeah.
You know, but harm one of their canines, and it's just like you're messing with one of their officers.
Well, actually, I think they'll prosecute you for shooting one of their dogs because that's an officer.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly my point. Yeah. They look at that animal as being a two-legged officer.
Right.
But when it comes to bashing in your door and shooting anything that gives too much resistance, no. We're just doing our job. And then the departments will try to find ways to cover up for them. This is the wrong thing to do. And this is, again, where citizens and activism comes into play. You don't need to walk in with baseball bats and guns drawn and demands being made. But very quietly, a few well-dressed, well-educated, well-spoken people knocking on the police chief's door going, excuse me, you know, I represent the thoughts of a lot of people here. It's just not me and my friend here, or this group that's now in your office. We represent a much larger group outside of this, and we're here to talk with you. We're here to try to help you help us. Help us help you. Help us help you.
I remember the movie.
Yep. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Well,
no, but I agree with you. And that's a great idea. Call the supervisor. I'm going to remember that. Call the supervisor right now.
Yep.
Good idea.
Yep. Well, the thing with Southern Poverty Law, it finally, remember me saying last week, folks, that they gave the announcement that our old buddy here, Morris Dees, was ousted, and the newspaper that did the article never told you why. They just told you he was gone. Mm-hmm. Well, the rest of the story is coming out. Zero Hedge, thank you, Tyler Durden, which is a consortium of people over there that write under that name. The Southern Poverty Law Center, the vicious left-wing attack dog used by the likes of Facebook, Twitter, Google, and Amazon, and the United States government, they're almost elevated to cabinet status, to identify hate groups is finally starting to unravel. A week after co-founder Morris D. was ousted over sexual misconduct claims, with two dozen employees signing a letter of concern over allegations of mistreatment, sexual harassment, gender discrimination, and racism, all of what the Southern Poverty Law said they were against. The head of the SPLC, Richard Cohen, as well as the organization's legal director, Rhonda Brownstein, resigned on Friday. A little bit more on this, folks. And this, why is this happening? Because people are starting to confront this. They're starting to talk to other people. They're collectively getting together, newspaper writers and whatever. The knocks are starting to happen on the doors, and this stuff is starting to get exposed. It doesn't seem like a whole lot, but it's major. It's big. It's called pushing back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Somewhere, I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return again to you.
Well, Cohen had been with the organization 33 years and one of its most prominent figures. At 5:03 p.m. Friday, Cohen sent a message to staff with the subject line, "Stepping down," announcing that he too would be leaving the organization, that he and Dees had turned into a research and fundraising juggernaut. They were selling a lot of fear and a lot of hate, but they said they were against it, and they were actually, that's who they were. Now, whatever problems exist, the memo went on, at the SPLC happened on my watch, so I take responsibility for them, Cohen wrote, while asking the staff to avoid jumping to conclusions before the board completes an internal review of the Montgomery, Alabama organization's work culture. Now, these quotes were taken out of the LA Times. Earlier this week, the SPLC Board of Directors appointed Michelle Obama's... they really don't learn, folks. Appointed Michelle Obama's former chief of staff, Tina Tichen, T-C-H-E-N, who, in an unrelated matter, unsuccessfully tried to pull strings and have the Jesse Smollett case transferred from Chicago PD to the FBI. Now, this Tichen is heading up the inquiry into sexual misconduct claims. Oh, God. Also out on Friday was Rhonda Brownstein, who had worked with the organization for nearly three decades, according to Montgomery Advisors' Melissa Brown. By the way, that story that I told you about last week came from Montgomery Advertisers, which told you nothing about the story. This told you that, oh, he stepped down. Yeah, like he'd step off of his step and onto the sidewalk. Well, as the Washington Examiner's Beckett Adam writes, the Southern Poverty Law is a scam which has taken no care whatsoever for the reputational and personal harm it causes by lumping Christians and anti-extremist activists with actual neo-Nazis. Yeah. As it turns out, the SPLC is a cynical money-making scheme, according to a former staffer's blistering tell-all published this week in The New Yorker. The center's chief goal is to bilk naive and wealthy donors who believe it's an earnest effort to combat bigotry. The only thing worse than snarling partisan activists is a slimy con man who merely pretends to be one. That's a direct quote of the Washington Examiner. Outside of work, recalls Bob Moser of his days working for the organization, we spent a lot of time drinking and dishing in Montgomery bars and restaurants about the hyperbolic fundraising appeals and the fact that through the center claimed to be effective in fighting extremism, hate always continued to be on the rise, more dangerous than ever, with each year's reports on hate groups, the SPLC making hate pay, as we used to say. Now, it was hard for many of us not to feel like we'd become pawns in what was, in many respects, a highly profitable scam. The way Moser tells it, the center's chief founder, Morris Dees, who was dismissed unceremoniously last week for unspecified reasons, discovered early on that he could rake in boatloads of cash by convincing gullible northern liberals that his group is doing the hard work of fighting hate. But the center's supposed mission of combating bigotry doesn't actually matter to its top brass, Moser says. It's just a business choice and one that's been extremely lucrative throughout the years. Moser's article reminds readers of the time Dees actually said of the SPLC in an interview with then-Progressive magazine reporter John Egerton, "We just run our business like a business. Whether you're selling cakes or causes, it's all the same." Now, Moser claims that the SPLC's business model centers entirely around keeping its precious donors in constant fear, using gimmicks such as hate maps and hate lists. The center can. I only made it to 33 on that list, Steve. I was highly disappointed. I wanted to be in top 10. Now, the center continues to take in far more than it spends, and it still tends to emphasize splashy cases that are sure to draw national attention. He writes, adding that the group's central strategy involves taking on cases guaranteed to make headlines and inflame the far right while demonstrating to potential donors that the center has not only all the right enemies, but also the grit and the know-how to take them down. Moser adds that there is an inescapable sense of guilt that comes with thinking about the legions of donors who believe that their money was being used faithfully and well to do the Lord's work in the heart of Dixie. We were part of the con, and we knew it. Who knew you could make big bucks simply by lumping Ben Carson with actual honest-to-God neo-Nazis? Right-wing commenter and vice co-founder Gavin McGinnis is currently suing the SPLC for labeling his right-wing fraternal organization, the Proud Boys, a hate group. The SPLC has gone from noble institution genuinely dedicated to eradicating hate to a hate group in of itself that pretends this country is frothing with bigots desperate to foment World War III. McGinnis has raised nearly $200,000 out of a goal of $250,000 to continue his lawsuit from his website, defendgavin.com. "I'm suing the SPLC," he says, "and it's just not because they destroyed my career and shattered my reputation. It's because they could do the same thing to you. Through this group is often cited as credible source by the media. Nobody who actually knows stuff takes them seriously." Now, another one bites the dust. Let's make sure that they don't come back. Morris Dees. "I read the divorce proceedings, Morris, between you and your wife, Maureen. Public record, and I can tell, honestly, that you are a major sleazebag."
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
By the way, Steve.
Yes.
Gavin McGinnis finished this out by saying, no, being called an extremist by the SPLC does not mean you're an extremist. No, being called a hate group by the SPLC does not make you a hate group. And no, being called a racist or an anti-Semite or Islamophobe or a transphobe or a homophobe by the SPLC does not make you any of those things. Well, we wonder if there will be even an SPLC left to sue by the time it reaches the courtroom. I hope not.
Interesting.
It is.
Very interesting. Now, by the way, what is the definition now of anti-Semite? Because it seems to be changing year after year. So you can't even criticize anymore. If you criticize a bad behavior or an action, that's being an anti-Semite, I guess, now. True? True? Yeah, I think that's we're not allowed to criticize.
No.
Israel at all. Nothing at all. Except no. If you do, you're anti-Semite. So,
well,
I guess.
And you know what? Being an anti-Semite is one thing, but being an anti-Zionist is totally another.
Yes, it is.
And
I don't hate anybody, John. I don't hate anybody. You don't hate anybody.
Nope.
But I will criticize bad behavior when I see it, and If someone was to try to stop me and stifle me, my rhetoric, my talk, and saying that's anti-Semite, then go for it. If it makes you feel good, but I'm not. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate Jewish people at all. I dislike the Israeli government, the Zionist government. I do.
Well, I will say one thing about Jews in general about being progressive. You know, that's their choice of politics. Mm-hmm. But does that make them anything but what many people are in this country, a little bit confused? Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
But that's why there's an opposition. That's why there's the good side, the good guys, and the not-so-good guys. And then we have really bad guys.
Yeah, a lot of those.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
By the way, even I guess Hillary Clinton might be called an anti-Semite. The bad cop must be a political appointee, Jewish considered the true friend of Israel. On Thursday, Judicial Watch released what it says is likely the final batch of emails recovered or found by the FBI among the 33,000 emails Hillary Clinton tried to delete or destroy from her unsecured private email server. Among the emails highlighted by the government watchdog are 5 email exchanges Judicial Watch determined to contain classified information. The organization has also drawn attention to a few notable email exchanges, including one lengthy memo from Sid Blumenthal to Clinton warning about an effort coordinated by Jewish institutional leaders designed to undermine the Obama appointment and laying out a plan to thwart that alleged effort. In the memo titled Good Cop, Bad Cop and sent on January 29th of 2009, Blumenthal proposed a plan to Clinton designed to counter an alleged attack by U.S. Jewish leadership on President Obama's appointment of former Senator George Mitchell as special envoy to the Middle East. The same sources that informed me during the campaign that Sarah Palin had been invited to the Israel rally that you were scheduled to address without telling you are now saying that the attack last week by Abe Foxman of the ADL on the appointment of George Mitchell as special envoy to the Middle East was coordinated by Jewish institutional leaders and carefully scripted. Doesn't that sound like collusion to you?
Says me, yeah.
Blumenthal suggested that Mitchell's Arab descent made him vulnerable to the alleged coordinated attack. Holmlein, vice chairman of the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations, is the chief organizer. Foxman was chosen as point man to shoot the first round, but he was hardly acting alone. Foxman's remake that Mitchell is neutral and therefore suspect simply lays down a marker. Mitchell is distrusted for his previous work and statements on the issue, that he is of Arab descent, which has deliberately gone unmentioned for now, but may be used later, make him politically vulnerable, whatever his qualifications, skill, or stature. So anyway, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. God, I even talked to this ACLU attorney today about this, about the left and what they control in this country.
I'm looking forward to that interview.
Oh, you and I both, brother.
Yeah, I'd like to maybe drive down and meet this woman. Hey, by the way, you got a call there, John. You saw that, right?
Yeah, but okay. I'm not done. Ken will hang on here for a second. Ken's a nice guy.
Okay.
And you just made me forget what I was going to say to finish up that statement, so thank you very much, Mr. Eyebrow. Which is return to normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. I can almost straighten out my middle finger on my left hand. Almost. Maybe you were the cause of all this.
No, that's all those burgers.
Ken,
you grip them too tight.
You know, I'm one of God's favored. You better watch it. Ken in New York. Hello, Ken.
Hi, is Nurse Ratched making fun of you again?
Yes, she certainly is.
She doesn't matter anymore, does it?
That's it. I'm done. I'm out of here.
He doesn't like when people gang up on him.
I pull a Herzog on. That's it. I'm out of here.
No. Don't pull a Herzog on me.
Oh, gosh.
I wanted to comment on something you were talking about earlier about the collecting the rainwater in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I had a friend that lived down there during the 90s, and what they were doing down there, some of the municipalities were forcing you, in order to have your garbage picked up, you'd have to go to a store that had orange garbage bags and pay $1 apiece for each one.
Okay, and what was the thinking behind that?
Got me. I would make money.
Well, okay, now, is this...
You're already paying in your taxes for it.
Okay, but what I'm getting at is most cities have the trash bin for the trash, and then they got one for recyclables.
Right, we do, but they were charging... he had to go down... He happened to have an Agway store down the street, and he had to buy the garbage bags that he would use to have the truck pick them up. I guess you could buy garbage bags in the store, but you couldn't put them out in the street. Which makes me wonder what would you buy them in the store for anyway?
Well, I went.
This was going on during the 1990s.
Well, I had an argument here with my secretary last week. I had her husband over at the house, and that's when I made the comment, and it was pretty much true. Know nothing and know next to nothing. So he stood right next to the guy that knew basically nothing about how to change it out. But, you know, we finally got the thing pulled out of there, got the new one in there, and I took the thing to the curb. He goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm putting it out of the street for pickup." He said, "They won't pick that up." I said, "Well, what city do you live in?" "Austin." I said, "I live in Round Rock." I said, "You can wheel a stove out there if you so desire, or a barbecue, or a used hot water heater, or whatever you have. And you put it out on the street, they will haul it away." "Oh, no, they won't." Well, lo and behold, garbage, and to boot it all, cleaning out the garage to get access to get a hand truck in there to get the hot water heater out of the garage, I had to remove a lot of junk. It's been 6 years since I cleaned my garage. So I had actually put trash in the recyclable trash can, which is green. The other one's brown. That's regular trash. Brown is trash. Green is recycle. And I put trash in the recycle. They were smart enough to look at that, realize what had happened. Oh, the guy changed his water heater, had to clean the space out, so they took everything. Much to this guy's amazement. I said, "You're just living in the wrong city."
Hmm. They'll do that up here if you call them first. You just have to call the waste management and tell them you got something. Occasionally they have a guy that comes by and collects. He makes a living collecting metals and other junk.
Well, here's the thinking in Austin. They do it two times a year to haul away the heavy stuff, but only twice a year. Hmm. So if you've got to pull out an old air conditioner, you got to pull out an old water heater, what you've got to do is store this thing for 6 months until they deem it the proper day to come around and pick it up. Well, what are you paying property taxes for? What are you paying all this stuff into the city that they won't come and relieve you of your refuse? Only on special appointed days.
Hmm. I have another thing I'd like to talk about. Did you hear the clip? Jamie Kelso had played a clip of Mark Levin criticizing Adam Schiff on Sunday.
Didn't he?
And he said, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I didn't hear it.
He was criticizing Adam Schiff, Schiffless, and calling him a shill for Russia. Mark Levin. And I'm thinking to myself, well, isn't that original? He has one dual citizen criticizing another dual citizen for being a shill. I mean, is Vladimir Putin demanding loyalty pledges to Russia from our Congress and our contractors?
Which, by the way,
I don't think so.
Steve, you asked me the question before the day's program today, and that just rattled my memory cage. Is that initially is what this ACLU attorney started looking at? Was the issue of dual citizenship.
Oh, good.
And how that relates to national security and who the hell are you really loyal to? You know, if you got passports for different countries, you vote in other people's elections. You know, what makes Mark Levin even worse is he's a lawyer and he's a Jewish lawyer from New York. And he tries to pass himself off as being a constitutionalist. I mean,
So is Dennis Prager too. He does the same thing too.
Well, but he's part of the new Blaze, you know, that everybody is going to have to run to from Fox. All this is just a reorganization of the same old crap, only it's going to sound a little bit more conservative. Really?
Well, it gets better than that. I heard Rush Limbaugh for a minute today, and he's accusing not Russia being the cause of the interference, but actually the FBI in cahoots with the mainstream media. They're all trying to get it away from Israel.
Well, and really at the heart of this whole thing, Ken, this was a program to deflect going after Hillary. Because who's the collusionary one here? It's Hillary Clinton herself.
Collusionist.
Yes, the original collusionist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A new word.
Yep.
Collusionist.
Hey, Ken, we have new recyclable bins out here. They're much bigger than normal. We just got them last week, and they have a really big mouth on them. And it's got, they're green.
Don't expect me to jump into one.
And they have a picture of AOC on it.
Oh, the occasional one.
Yeah.
The occasional
one. Oh, by the way, the license plates on New Jersey license plates, say New Jersey, the Garden State, there was this nice old lady that used to come on the show I listened to about 10 years ago, and she started calling it New Jerky, the Garbage State.
Well, what is the state that says live free or die? Isn't that Massachusetts?
Yeah. Yeah, that's if you can afford the taxes. I'm not sure what they mean by death.
I don't know, but does that mean that most people that were patriotic that lived in Connecticut are now dead?
Those are the unpatriotic ones, the ones that were patriotic. Everything is backwards.
Well, the part of the discussion I had today is we've got to unravel this thing. We've got to get to the heart of it. There's a lot of confusion and consternation out there. There's a lot of fluff and a lot of, you know, stuff going on, and it's meant to confound and confuse, and the argument needs to be taken back down. For people that love their country, whether you be Democrat, Republican, Independent, or none of the above, do you love your country? Well, why do you love it? That's the argument that's got to be taking place right now. Forget all this political distraction, because that's the narrative that they control. We take it back from them by really citing what this country is about, the rule of law. It is a republic, not a democracy. We do have a constitution. We already have the rule book. That's why all 50 states have the same rule book as the federal government has. We have 50 different entities supposedly conjoined here under the umbrella of the Fed for mutual protection. Well, it's turned into mutual extortion, and God knows, give it a name.
It's called a protection racket.
Pretty much. So we're gonna take.
You know, I'm thinking that Mark Levin might be smelling blowback in the wind, that one that Ron Paul used to talk about, because I find it very strange that he would attack somebody like Schiff. And then what about Schumer in our state, you know, the guardian of the universe?
Well, when you're a dual state citizenship and you want to keep your scam going, you've got to jump on one side of the fence or the other until such time that it gets too hot on that side and you got to actually jump over the fence and join your real tribe. Just like I got done explaining to you, Ken, what the SPLC was all about. These are some of the most twisted people on the face of this planet. And I'm not joking about this. I'm not casting disparaging remarks toward the SPLC because it's cool to do. No, these were the perverts. These are the people that were trying to tell you that, oh, about hate and bigotry and this, that, and the other, and abuse and all this stuff. They were the definition of it.
You know, I hope Trump plays this card all the way to the end, because if there's one thing that he's done, he's opened up the floodgates for the pedophile thing.
Well, he's done a lot, and if he wouldn't have been jammed up for 2 years, I'm just wondering where we'd be at right now. You know, Trump is doing some strange things by executive order with the Golan Heights and all that stuff. I'm not in favor of this, but again, is he placating the enemy so the enemy doesn't attack him? What did Joe Stalin? Joe Stalin was smart enough to say, I keep my friends close, but I keep my enemies closer. Mm.
So we'll see. We'll see. Ken, thank you for your call.
All right, thank you.
All right. By the way, Live Free or Die, that's New Hampshire.
Is it?
Yeah. Wasn't that just annexed by Massachusetts? To do away with some budgetary problems or something. Gosh. Steve, I am sick as a dog. I hope you appreciate I was here today. I've been down for the last 3 days.
Have you?
But I couldn't miss being on the air with my friend.
Yeah, what's going on? What do you got?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I knew one thing damn right well. If I wasn't here today, I knew you weren't going to do the show.
No, I would have done it.
You would
have? Done it for you. Yeah.
Okay, do the last 10 minutes. I'm out of here.
Okay.
I'm teasing. We'll be right back. Got time enough for one more phone call, maybe a quick story. We'll do that. We'll be back.
No reason to get excited.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What's ironic, Steve, about this newly uncovered Clinton email? Folks, if you want to read the rest of this, the emails themselves that the Law Group Judicial Watch released, go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and read them for yourself. They are lengthy, and we don't have time enough to read them here. But what is more apparent than anything else, it's actually the Israelis through their political organization in this country to come in and meddle in our politics. And Bibi Netanyahu was recruiting people such as Fox News. Oh. Wow. So when are we gonna go after Hillary Clinton over Benghazi, her emails, the collusion between her and Russia, when are we going to get into all that?
I hope so now that this, Nadler guy has started another half dozen investigations. So this is not over. We're looking at round two now with Donald Trump. So he's not done. He's out of the work. He's out of the works on this one with Mueller, but he's got a bunch more. They're not done with this guy yet.
No. But what they don't seem to understand that they're destroying the political party, which are trying to launch this stuff from. And they're going to end up being the people that guide people into the voting booth for Trump.
Yeah. It might, yeah.
It's very possible. Very mm-hmm. possible.
You know, we mentioned before that those 33,000 emails, they never disappeared.
No, they didn't.
They were always in the hands of the government, the NSA.
Probably. Always. I was just going to say the NSA, probably.
Yeah, they were always there. But we're seeing rogue intelligence, so... That's part of the rogue intelligence, the NSA. So I would like to see that. I would like to see the 33,000 emails that they can show us, because the recent ones that are at least acknowledged now saying that it was definitely confidential, this is not to be released, and she screwed up.
Well, I'm glad to see that racism isn't just confined in the United States. A French rapper was just fined £5,000 for a violent music video titled Hang White People.
Oh, boy.
Oh, good Lord.
The old double standard there. Double standard.
Well, but you saw the who controlled the music industry in this country and who they would promote. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you got the biggie, this guy, and... Six-pack liqueur, I'm sorry, what was his name? Two-pack, whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah, and then you had the East Coast Mafia and the West Coast Mafia, and then they would battle with each other. And it was all, with nothing but gangsters that were legitimized and made rich by the music industry.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, all the little white kids were running around with their underwear showing, their pants pulled halfway down to their knees. And trying very hard to go for the cultural deficiency award. God,
you know, I still see that, and I hate that when I see these kids with their pants. I just know. I don't get it.
They're confused. They don't get it either. They think it's stylish. They don't realize how many people are looking at them going, "Boy, why don't you grow up?
Yep,
pull your pants up."
Exactly.
Steve, thank you for being here today.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for being here, folks. Please support this network. We'll be bringing on some new blood here, a lot of new information. I, for one, am going to start interviewing a lot more people. I have basically been the watchman on the wall, but it's very boring sitting there watching somebody watching something. So I'm going to get a little bit more involved, and I'll make it a little bit more entertaining for you, I promise. But support this network. We are free, and we're independent. And, well... We're one of the last Mohicans out there. Support us. I think we're worth it. I don't think. I know we are. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.